Conference record has joined the conference.
Good morning or good evening, everybody. This is Patrick Curran, chair of the JCP. We're here for the second of our, every year we hold two public UC meetings where we encourage members of the community to join us, and we try to present them with the material that we hope they will find interesting. These meetings are recorded, so people are not able to join on the phone. We will post the recording on jcp.org for people to download. We have a pretty simple agenda this time since we've just had our annual elections. No change in the membership of the JCP, but it seemed like a good opportunity for us to kind of do a round table, meet the executive committee. So I will ask each representative for each member organization to introduce themselves, to talk about their involvement in Java and the JCP, and to talk about what we've been doing and what we hope to do in the future. So I'm going to start with a quick roll call so that you will know who is present, who is here representing each of the different organizations, and then we will simply go through them one by one, and I will ask everyone who is present to just spend a few minutes talking about their involvement in Java and in the JCP. So let's just for the record, let me just point out that although we only do these two meetings that are public, all of our materials are published. If you go to jcp.org, if I can navigate there from the home page, let's see if I can figure out how to do that. I have a bookmark about JCP, executive committee, meeting minutes and materials. Okay, so, again, if you go to the JCP homepage, jcp.org, you'll see about JCP down here at bottom left, executive committee. A lot of interesting, a lot of information here about the executive committee, list of who is on the committee, pointers to their biographies, and so on, and pointers up here to a bunch of stuff, including meeting minutes and materials. So all of the materials and the minutes for our meetings are posted here, hopefully shortly after the meeting, after the UC approves them. I encourage everybody to do that to see what we're up to. Okay. Let's do a quick roll call. I'm going to do this on my spreadsheet here so I have a record. So do we have anyone from ARM?
Yes, Patrick. This is Paul Manfrini.
Paul, welcome. And Azul. Azul was not able to attend the first portion, so I assume they're also not present here. Azul? Okay. Credit Suisse?
Yes, Susie's here and Alex as well.
Alex? And Eclipse?
Wayne Beaton is here.
Hey, Wayne. And Ericsson? Not present. Freescale, who will be changing their name shortly. Malin, are you still with us?
Yes. Hi, this is Malin from Freescale / NXP.
Okay. And Fujitsu?
Mike Di Nicola.
Mike.
Kenji Kazumura.
Kenji, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Gemalto.
Thomas Lampard is here. Hello.
Thomas, Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, there's Donald here, and I believe Vlad and Mike are on the phone as well.
Okay, great. I'm hearing an echoey voice. Please mute your phone, *6. Hazelcast.
Hi, Albert Amor. Hello.
Hello. IBM.
Yes, Steve Wallens here.
Steve, hi. Intel.
I'm Michael Berg here.
Thank you. Werner Kyle. Werner had a conflict, I believe. Not present. Okay. London Java Community?
Hello, it's Matt Payne here.
Ben, Gia Magnuson. Gia, are you with us? Oh, okay. Microdoc?
This is Hendrik.
Hendrik, hello. Oracle?
Anish Karmarkar is here from Oracle.
Don Deutsch as well, Patrick.
That's Don. Okay, welcome, Red Hat.
This is Scott Stark.
Okay, and SAP.
This is Sanjay, Patrick.
Sanjay, Software AG.
Good morning, this is Prasad Yandluri.
So Java.
Hi, everyone, this is Bruno Souza.
Oh, hi.
Hi, everyone, Otavio Santana.
Otavio, welcome, and Totus.
David Brito here.
David, welcome. And Twitter?
Tony Prentice is here.
Tony, hi. And V2Com?
Leonard is here.
Leonardo, and I think Heather is here for the PMO. Is that right, Heather?
Yes. Hi, Patrick. I'm here.
Okay.
So for my friend,
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear that. Very echoey. Okay, never mind. All right, so we have four people missing. So we've got about 20 people, and we have less than an hour, so we don't need to spend a lot of time, but I want to give everybody a chance to speak. Let's just do it alphabetically. So let's start with Paul Manfrini from Arm. Paul, over to you.
Thank you, Patrick. Hi. For those of you who don't know ARM, we're a hardware intellectual property or IP company. We model our process, or our model is that we license our processor technology to over 300 silicon partners, and our technology has found its way into over 75 billion products out in the world today. So we have a fairly large ecosystem. Java is a critical enabling technology, software enabling technology to all of our partners and to ARM. So our presence on the committee is important so that we can, along with the other members, you know, work to affect the direction and vibrancy of the Java ecosystem, as it's critical to what we do. I'd say that's probably encapsulates the way we think. I don't know if you want more from me, Patrick, or not, but...
No, it's up to you.
No, I think that's probably good.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Paul. Okay. Uh-huh. So next up, Susie Check from Credit Suisse.
Yes. So, yeah, Credit Suisse is, as you know, or as you may not know, a global bank that's headquartered in Zurich. And from a banking perspective, we cover all areas from wealth management, private banking, to investment banking. And you can imagine we have around 46,000 employees, and approximately half of it is IT. So for Credit Suisse, really for bank, IT is very important. As a programming language, we have standardized in Java. And that's why we're also on the JCP and in the JCP Executive Committee, because we want to, as a consumer, we want to you know, secure our investments in that programming language and drive forward also the standardization areas that matter for us. For example, we've participated in the batch JSR, so we have a lot of batch programming on Java, have the spec lead in the money JSR. We've also built for the last 10 years now a platform which we call Java Application Platform, which nowadays you would call a PaaS. So it's a standardized environment for Java EE application, which actually supports the full profile of Java EE. So it's really for these huge transaction-based or batch processing applications, and we run that quite successfully. We have around 700 applications on that one. So that's so you can see, get a bit of an impression why Vijava and the standardization is important for us.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Susie. Next up, Eclipse Foundation, Wayne Beeson.
Good morning. Good afternoon, I guess, depending on time zone. Yeah, so the Eclipse Foundation is probably best known for the Java IDE, although the Eclipse framework was designed to do more general sorts of applications. So we actually do have open source projects that are focused on doing other language IDEs, PHP, C++, that sort of thing. More generally, the Eclipse Foundation is an open source software foundation. We also do working groups in vertical markets and many other sorts of things in the open source space. Many of our open source projects, in fact, let me rephrase that, virtually all of our open source projects, of which we have close to 300 now, do things with Java. So Java is clearly very important to us. We have members of our community who participate in numerous JSRs, and we've been participating in the executive community committee for a number of years. I've personally recently been doing a lot of work with Java 9. I'm actually a member of the Jigsaw, one of the Jigsaw JSRs, and doing a lot of more of the evangelism work for Java 9 while our smarter developers do the actual work on enhancing the Eclipse IDE, Java IDE for Java 9 support in anticipation of that rollout. I guess that's the short version.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. Let's see. Freescale, Molin Patel.
Thanks, Patrick. Hi, everybody. This is Molin Patel. So we've been part of the JCP as a Freescale for 2 years. And as of a week ago, we officially became NXP, so our investment and the focus continues. Our focus at a vision level is definitely at Java in the embedded systems. Embedded from the security IoT perspective is our huge focus. We are one of the technology partners with ARM, and our focus from our group perspective is to build a platform and ecosystem on our microcontrollers from low end to high end, and then enable the Java-like platforms for many of our secure IoT applications, connecting from node to the gateways to the high-end servers for the cloud application. So Java is extremely important, and on top of that, NXP partners, now that we are one team, we are also involved heavily on some of the Java Cart activity, which we intend to also heavily engage with the key technology partners on the Java point of view. So we are very excited, and intend to continue to be participating in the Java-related activity as well as continue to contribute. Thanks, Patrick.
Okay. Thank you, Roland. Before we move on, let me just say we're going a little fast here, so if people want to take just a little bit more time, feel free to do so. Otherwise, we no big deal. We may finish a little early, but I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to explain what they're up to and what their interest is. Okay, so next up is Fujitsu. I'm not sure whether Kenji or Mike is going to speak for Fujitsu. One of you, please go ahead.
This is Mike DiNicola.
Okay.
Well, Fujitsu has been involved with Java since its availability in the mid-90s, and it has been on the EC basically since the executive committee inception at the turn of the century. We have a Fujitsu. If you're not familiar with it, is effectively the IBM of Japan. It has except it still does PCs, but It has a broad range of products, both all types of computers, from PCs to supercomputers, and it also is in the chip business, and we develop a Java chip in addition to using Java SE and Java EE systems. We've been very involved with the JCP process and the development of that process and modifications to it. We're concerned at the moment maybe that there aren't enough new JSRs related to new IT technologies. In the past year, there have only been a couple of JSRs that actually were completed. We are concerned about the delays in completing JSR 358 and 364, 364 being the broadening of the JCP process to a greater number of people, and 358 being the modification to the JSP legal agreement. Our other concern at the moment is some concerns in the area of the future of Java EE and the recent delays announced for JDK 9. In the future, in terms of EC activities, like to see the EC consider and discuss more about the TCK, its licensing of the TCK, and how it impacts the current licensing impacts the promotion of Java platforms.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, next up is Jim Alto, Thomas Lamp.
Yes, thanks, Patrick. So for the people who might not know us, we develop, manufacture, and sell data communication modules, M2M data communication modules, which use mostly the same technologies as mobile phones, so LTE or UMTS. Since a couple of years, actually over 10 years, we now use Java in some of these modules as a open programming platform for our customers, so that then they can run their applications inside the modules and can therefore design some cheaper end devices without any additional external CPUs and stuff. So as I said, we've been doing this for over 10 years now. We use Java ME, so we are probably today one of the fewer companies who are really mainly interested in the Java ME space. But since a couple of years, we also use Java for some of our solutions, some end-to-end solutions. So we began using Java also on the server side. So the Java for us is the true end-to-end programming language, which allows us to develop from embedded devices to the server side, the complete solutions. Yes, we've been a member of the JCP now since we started Java. We've been involved in a couple of JSRs during that time. And last years, we are very happy to see some new action in the Java ME space. So we also participated in the Java ME JSRs and everything that's going on in the Java ME. Standards are, for us, are very important in the M2M space because this allows true vendor independent solutions there, and our customers want to see solutions built on standards. So, but also we recognize that a lot of innovation is done in the open source space nowadays. So what the EC and the JCP is currently trying to do to move the standard processes and standard space closer together with the open source space is something which we really appreciate and which we think is the future and a good thing to do. Yes. So that's also the reason why we are a member of the EC and to take part in this process and bring the development of Java and open source forward. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Okay, next up, Goldman Sachs, and either Don Robb or Mike Marzo, I assume, will speak for Goldman Sachs.
Yes, hi. Thank you, Patrick. This is Donald Robb. So I guess for those that don't know, Goldman Sachs is a global financial services firm. And I guess for those that do know about Goldman Sachs, what you might not know is that we have around, you know, of our 32,000 employees, around 8 to 10,000 of them are engineers. And of that population, about 3 to 4,000 of those engineers are developing in Java. So we have a fairly substantial footprint in Java development going on in the firm. We've been involved in the JCP process, I believe, since 2010, 2011, in both the executive committee, also participating in various JSRs. We had members on the JSR expert group for Lambda 335. We also participated in JSR 107 for caching and are still participating. We also, you know, are supportive of JSR 354 and numerous other JSRs. We have on the order, I think, of probably a few hundred million lines of Java code in the firm, anything from like back office systems to like trading systems to, you know, just a large, you know, diverse number of Java applications. We leverage a lot of open source software, and what we've been doing the past 4 years is, you know, tried to become more involved in open source development. Back before Java 1 this year, we actually joined the Eclipse Foundation as a solutions member, and I believe we're the first financial services firm to join the Eclipse Foundation. We open sourced a Java collections framework that we had built internally over the last 10 years back in 2012, and we're actually migrating that to the Eclipse Foundation right now. You can see there's a project called Eclipse Collections that has been approved in our proposal stage and is going through the Eclipse process now. I would say, like, you know, we're very interested in the Java user groups that we can get involved with globally. We're currently sponsoring a Java user group meetup in New York this week. We're having a speaker from Twitter talking about OpenJDK and the JVM. We also have a speaker out in, from our London office attending the Warsaw Java user group meetup this evening, probably speaking in the next hour or two about Eclipse Collections, by example. You know, we're doing a lot to try and get involved in, once again, the Java user communities that we work in. We do have a global development footprint, so we have offices in New York, New Jersey, Salt Lake City, Dallas, Irving, Bangalore, London, Warsaw, Hong Kong, Singapore, Tokyo. And with a global development footprint where we're leveraging, once again, a lot of open source software. You know, Java is pretty much, I would say, a key component of our software development in the firm. So we're very interested in its development. We're also interested in what's happening in the space coming up for, like, not just Java 9, which obviously we're looking forward to, but Java 10 and Java 11. We're very actively involved right now in the OpenJDK project Valhalla as well as Panama, and very interested in seeing these turn into JSRs and then participating on the expert group. You know, we do a lot in terms of high performance and, you know, memory optimization, both in our, you know, let's say our collections framework, but just, you know, we're dealing with very large Java heaps sometimes. We also, like, you know, care about, you know, low latency applications. So performance is, you know, very, very important to us. So we, you know, have make an investment in these types of things to make sure that the, you know, the platform's heading in the direction that's going to, you know, have a positive outcome for everybody. So that's,
okay.
You know, I guess I'll say, Patrick.
Thanks, Donald. I'm hearing kind of echoey talking, so as a reminder, please mute your phone, star 6. Then you can use star 6 again to unmute. Okay, next up is Hazelcast, Jeremy Hamala.
Yeah, thank you. So my name is Jeremy Hamala, and I represent Hazelcast. We are open source in-memory data grid, written in Java, obviously. For those of you who doesn't know what in-memory data grid is, you can very roughly imagine it as a distributed in a memory cache on steroids. It's a very maybe overly simplified point of view, but it's usually close to the developers and people with a development background. We implement JSR 107, which is also known as a JCache. Our GregFuck acted as a specification colleague for JSR 107, and he's working on a maintenance release as we speak. And last but not least, we use overhead memory quite a lot, so naturally we have been watching the Java modularization effort quite closely, because we have invested quite a lot in this area. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Maybe your phone that's causing the echoey sound. Okay, muted. Thank you. Okay, we're back at Enterprise. So next up is IBM. Steve Wallen, over to you.
Hey, thanks very much, Patrick. So IBM's had a long and vested interest in Java. I think participating in the standards arena since sort of pre-JTP days. We build our own JVM technology, and I think as part of that, that's why we have a real keen interest in making sure that the standards are really defined clearly and in an open way, so that ourselves and others can contribute to those and develop and differentiate our platforms and technology for our customers. So we've got thousands of products that are actually built on our Java technology, and obviously many thousands more customers that then leverage and use that for varying reasons, whether it's extracting analytics from our tools like Watson, or building their own applications on our PaaS and cloud technologies like Bluemix. We build and use Java across a range of platforms. So, friends on the call today from ARM and Intel, as well as our own platform technologies like System P and Z Systems as well. So all the way from the small devices up to the mainframes and the big enterprise IAM. We build, we port, we use all aspects of Java, whether ME or Enterprise Edition, and a huge range of the JCPs that get set here in the technology that comes from IBM. So we have a deep invested interest in Java, and that continues as we look at the Polyglot story. How do we integrate and build out customers' architectures with Node.js and Java and a lot of these new exciting languages that are coming along. And I think when I think about what this forum is important for, it's to make sure that we have the vitality and the innovation that our customers are looking for, and to really tie that together with standardizing those items out in the open to get the most out of the 20 plus years of investment that we and our customers have made in Java. So for me, it's a great language, it's a great ecosystem. And I think the more we can leverage that and use that as we go forward, then I think the better off the product space will be. So.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Next up is Intel, Michael Berg.
Yeah. So, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Good. So we've been involved in OpenJDK Hotspot JDK. Development, and we've been doing a lot of current things with IoT of late. Internet of Things has a pretty big emphasis for our company and will continue to grow in the future. We're doing a lot of development with Panama, partnership with Oracle, mostly to do with the vector API and some other things. I primarily work in the C2 optimizer, doing a bunch of loopops and vectorizations, new feature support for new architectures like Skylake, a bunch of new things that we're adding there. So having this extra bump in JDK 9 is actually helpful for us. We've been doing a lot of work of late with the library performance issues like the transcendental functions. Folks monitoring hotspot and JDK have seen a modest amount of traffic there. Still some things going on. And, of course, legacy platform support. Make sure that everything that we've supported in the past is also supported continually. We've been involved in a number of JSRs like 358, 364, and we'll be continually involved in things as they come up. And we've been involved in the Java Language Summit as it comes up year by year. We're keeping our ear to the ground and kind of being attuned to things as we need to be.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Vinna Kyle said he may be able to join. Are you with us, Vinna?
Yes, I'm online. I was submitted. So, yeah, sorry that I could only join the public meeting, but Tel Aviv also has some dense traffic. I made it. So I'm one of the two individual members in the executive committee. I'm involved in several JSRs all the way from mobile and embedded. For example, I was in the two expert groups for Java ME embedded. I helped the money JSR, which also recently went final quite actively, and I'm one of the spec leads of an IoT-related JSR 363 for units of measurement. And on the server side, I'm also helping JSRs like Portlet 3, for example, or the new Java Security API, JSR 375, which I'm also going to present here in Tel Aviv tomorrow at the conference. Yeah, I think
okay. Thank you very
much. Covered it.
Okay, London Java Community, Martin Verberg.
Hi, everyone. So I represent the London Java Community. We're a Java user group of about 5,500 members. With reference to the work we do here on the EC and JSRs and Java standards in general, we probably tend to look more at the technical details of the specifications being put out and trying to ensure that they are fit the purpose for the larger Java developer community at, you know, worldwide. So we organize a lot of community hack days, workshops, talks, lectures, etc., on early versions of the Java standards well before they come out to have real developers effectively attack the APIs, attack the implementations, and see whether they're going to be useful in the real world, so to speak. So we're going to continue doing that for the next couple of years. In particular, we're having a heavy focus on Project Jigsaw for Java 9, as we believe, due to the internal plumbing changes of Java, it's going to create a potentially very large impact to the Java community at large. So there's an awful lot of testing that needs to be done by the 19 million odd developers out there today. We've also recently had an increased focus, sort of returning back to Java on smaller devices with Java ME and Java Mobile. And we've sort of seen with interest that some new code and some new projects have been made available by OpenJDK there. And we're just going to see if we can help push a small resurgence for standard Java in the mobile space. I guess one of our founding goals is to help promote Java everywhere, right from IoT to the big iron. So that's what we'll be doing for the next couple of years. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Okay, Geir Magnusson. Oh, Geir is not present. Geir? Okay. Next, Microdoc, Henrik Hoffer.
So my name is Henrik Hoffer. I'm manager at Microdoc. Microdoc is a company focused on building embedded Java VMs for very different markets. We're pretty heavily involved in vehicles, being passenger cars and commercial vehicles like trucks. One of the things we do in that space is building Java VMs for head units. These are the devices that run the NAV system, for example. And in the commercial industry, we're doing telematics. These are black boxes sitting somewhere in the vehicle, calling home over the internet or private networks or whatever. We're doing Java VMs for telecoms, for telecom infrastructure, and a lot of other things in the embedded space. And we've seen a pretty significant growth in the use of embedded Java over the last years, especially since IoT is very likely buzzword of the year. So the challenge in that space is that we deal with a lot of different operating systems that you've never heard of before, different processors, different bugs in processors, and so on. And so that is pretty much the expertise that we have in that space. Now, we're in the JCP for, I think, 1 year now, and we're doing that because we want the embedded people to be heard in the JCP. Not everything is enterprise and not everything is JE and message-driven beans and so on, but there are very significant challenges when using Java for embedded. Startup time is something, so when you turn on the ignition of your car, you want to have the rear view camera visible within a couple of seconds and not within 30 minutes or so. Memory still is a concern. We are very heavily involved in OSGI, and so obviously Jigsaw is quite an interesting new feature in Java 9 that we're looking at. And obviously when you do embedded, you always have to deal with low-level stuff, real-time things. So everything that touches the operating system, where Java today, from my point of view, does not have a good story. And the colleague from Hazelcast already mentioned non-off-heap memory, the Java, the unsafe class that a lot of people use. And I think we have to find a better story for accessing the operating system and other resources in the computer without going through JNI, since JNI has a couple of other problems. So that's it about MicroDoc, and I'm really happy to be in the JCP and do at least a bit of work in the community.
Thank you, Hendrik. Next up is Oracle and Anish Karmakar. Anish?
Thanks, Patrick. So probably most of the folks on this call likely know Oracle uses Java in large number of our products in one way or another, so much so that we acquired Sun Microsystems, largely but not only because of Java. Oracle has been, in fact, on the JCPEC since its inception long before the acquisition itself. But since acquisition, we have taken our role as the steward of Java seriously and have invested substantially in moving the platform forward. And in that context, JCP is important to us and we'll continue to invest in it. With JSR 348, which was about a new version of the JCP, and JSR 355, which merged the two ECs, Big Java and Little Java ECs, we believe we have made progress in making JCP more open and transparent. And it is important to Oracle to move this further along. And we believe we are making progress on JSR 364, which would broaden the membership in JCP, and possibly a revision of the legal underpinnings of the JCP under JSR 358, which will be about a major revision of the JCP. So our goals are and remain that we make JCP more accessible, more open, more transparent, and improve the PMO's processes to make them more efficient and helpful to the EC and to all the JCP members. And lastly, but certainly no less, is to do outreach to the Java ecosystem.
Okay, thank you, Anish. Next up, Red Hat, Scott Stark.
Hi, this is Scott Stark of the JBoss division of Red Hat. Java is the cornerstone of our JBoss middleware offerings, and that includes things like our Java EE application server and CDI reference implementation. We contribute to the Open JDK project and are involved in areas like researching alternative garbage collectors and module systems. We also support development of other JVM-based languages like Ceylon and JRuby. Red Hat's involved in the JCP to address licensing model issues, as well as processes that align with our open source values. Thank you.
Scott. Thank you, Scott. Next up, SAP, Sanjay Patil.
Thanks, Patrick. So this is Sanjay Patil, a member of SAP's Industry Standards and Open Source team. Personally, I have been on GCP for just over a year now, but SAP has been a member of GCP for a very long time. And for those who are not familiar with SAP, SAP is a major provider of enterprise applications in several industries, database, analytics, mobile, and other solutions in cloud as well as in on-premise environments. Java plays a very important role in SAP's technology and solution strategy. SAP and its ecosystem of partners and customers have developed countless assets in Java and deployed them in mission-critical applications. We foresee similar level of activities for the future as well. Given the breadth and depth of Java technology and the large followership it has gathered for close to 2 decades now, I guess, we at SAP strongly believe in the value of initiatives to foster open innovations in the Java ecosystem through simplified legal frameworks, governance mechanisms, and just innovative projects of JSR specification development, as well as the associated open source projects. We are quite happy to collaborate with the GCP membership in this regard. That's it.
Thank you, Sanjay. Software AG, Prasad Yandluri.
Thanks, Patrick. This is Prasad Yandluri. So first of all, Software AG is very excited to be on the GCP Executive Committee for another year. This is our third year starting on GCP Executive Committee, but we are not new to Java or GCP. We have been involved in GCP for a long time. As an active member of many expert groups and the chair, and also have been involved in many JSRs like JAXM, JAXR, JAXB, JAXRPC, JBA, JAS, JCA, etc. Currently, we are active in JSR 107, JCache, and JSR 347, for example. As a company, Software AG itself was founded in 1969. It's a major Java-centric enterprise software vendor. We have more than 10,000 customers in well over 70 countries, with about 1 billion euros in annual revenues. The company is the second largest software vendor in Germany and the fourth largest in Europe. Software AG has a unique product portfolio encompassing WebMethods, Apama, Iris, Terracotta, Adabas, etc. business lines. As a major Java-centric middleware platform provider, we have solutions spanning intelligence business operations, cloud, BPMS, integration, database, mobile, and recently we are expanding into IoT space as well. As I said, we have been involved in JCP for a long time, but I personally have been involved in many standards activities, including W3C, OMG, OSS, DMTF, WSI, Eclipse, and OSGI. We know OSGI and DMTF, et cetera, we are on the board of directors in addition to being on the executive committee of JCPEC now. So Software AG and personally I are very much committed to keeping GCP open and equally accessible to individuals and enterprises of all sizes. We are delighted to find that GCP Next efforts are in fact going in the direction and getting close to bringing that openness to a reality. Like I said, we are extensively not involved in OSGI also, so efforts like Jigsaw are extremely of interest to us, and all the JSRs that we are beginning to see coming up in the IoT space are also of significant interest to us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Prasad. So, Java, Bruno or Ottavio, one or other?
Hi, everyone. This is Bruno Souza from SoJava, and it is a pleasure to be here at the JCP. Once more, I'd like to congratulate all the elect and ratified members. You know, I think the JCP elections are getting more competitive and more interesting. There's clearly a lot more attention around the community for the work being done in the JCP, so congratulations to everyone here, and especially thanks for everyone that's joining us on this public meeting, because without your participation, nothing happens in the JCP. So Java has been, was the first Java user group to join the JCP many, many years ago when it was first allowed for nonprofit organizations to join the JCP. And we have been participating strongly on the JCP. Actually, we have in our bylaws, it's one of our mandates is to participate on the Java standard processes, and so we have been working with the JCP since as long as we're able to, and we had several experts in many different JSRs especially since the time of Java 5 when we got more strongly involved. We had a co-spec lead in one of the most high-profile JSR, JSR 310, it's a more recent JSR. We happily joined with London Java Community's great idea of creating the Adopted JSR program, and today we're involved in around 15 JSRs around the Adopted JSR. We have around 168 members involved in the Portuguese adopted JSR mailing list, and from SoJava and other Brazilian Java user groups that we work together with. We also had a strong work not only on the standards, but also on the free implementation of Java. So before OpenJDK, we worked strongly with several of the implementations trying to implement the specification of Java. And once OpenJDK started, we got strongly involved, including having a member of SoJava on the first OpenJDK board. So we have been working a lot with every OpenJDK release, especially Java 8 and now Java 9. SoJava also has contributed to several Apache projects that are trying to implement Java specifications, and I think because we do believe that the best way for us to do Java specifications is through open source. So, we also were strongly in favor of today's policies of the JCP that the RI are open source. So that was a strong requirement for us. And more specifically on public contributions and promoting the JCP. We have been this past year, we've helped the JCP run Hacker Gardens in many, many different countries in several continents this past year. We are also working very strongly with several Java user groups around the world, more especially with the Portuguese-speaking Java user groups, so many user groups in Portugal, Brazil, Mozambique, and other Portuguese-speaking countries. So, we do believe that the JCP is one of the most important parts of the Java ecosystem, and the more we can get developers and user groups and involved in knowing about the JCP and getting involved on projects around the JCP, but even just by having user groups promoting the activities of the JCP, we are making this whole the ecosystem stronger. So thank you, everyone, and thank you for being here, because the fact that you are either listening or participating on this call does mean that you are interested in the future of Java, and I think you're in the right place to do this. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bruno. Next up, TOTUS, David Brito.
Hello, everyone. I am David Brito from TOTUS. TOTUS is the leading ERP company in South America, and we have several users for Java. But in my case, I'm responsible for the digital TV business, and our field of interest is Java NE. Java is one of the key technologies for the Brazilian digital TV standards. And our company, we have played a very important role to introduce Java in our standards. So after maybe 5 years, we have currently 60 million TV sets in the market with Java NE embedded. And also, I would say that 12 million per year are being produced with this technology. So I'm happy to support Java. Our company also happy. We deliver our software after TV, which is based on a Jenga standard with a Java embedded. So this is what we do. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Next up, Twitter. Tony Printezis.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Thank you, Patrick. So I'm Tony from the Twitter JVM team. I am currently the primary rep of Twitter at the JCP, and the secondary rep is my colleague Ramki Ramakrishna. Twitter is a huge distributed system and runs mostly on the JVM. In fact, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of JVMs running on thousands and thousands and thousands of machines. A lot of it is actually written in Scala, as most of you probably know. The progress from Ruby to Scala at Twitter is kind of well documented, I think. However, we still obviously rely heavily on the JVM tools that the JVM that has, and also a lot of Java libraries. For example, collections, concurrent utilities, NIO, etc. We maintain and deploy our own build of OpenJDK called TwitterJDK. And the team I work in, we have added a lot of enhancements and improvements to TwitterJDK, and most of our changes have been in Hotspot in the JVM. Examples of changes are some new command line arguments to control a few things that cannot be controlled by default. Lots of profiling features, that's actually a really hot topic for us, profiling in production. And, performance fixes here and there. So why we're on the JCP? Well, first, Twitter has a long history in contributed open source projects. I would like to give back to the community. And as I said earlier, we're not a source licensee for the JDK. We rely on OpenJDK being open source. So we'd like to see OpenJDK remaining an industry-leading platform that is open, which is great for the entire Java community and the future of Java. And some areas we would like to work on is, first, we would like to contribute a bit more than we have done so in the past, and we'll have an action item next year to do so. And also maybe work a little bit to see who we can convince Oracle to improve the process of contributing to OpenJDK, specifically to the JVM, which is considered a little bit clumsy. Finally, thanks everyone who voted for us during the recent elections. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Last DC member to speak will be Leonardo Lima from V2COM or V2COM in Brazil. Leonardo?
Thanks, Patrick. V2COM, or as it is called in Portuguese, is a Brazilian company that develops hardware and software, connecting more than 1 million devices in Latin America for 12 years now. We use Java from end to end for our devices on the field. We are consumers, we consume technology from Gemalto, for example, we just spoke on our Java ME enabled devices and also Java embedded. And we connect different kind of devices, so electrical meters, reclosures, infrastructure for utilities, electricity, water, and oil and gas and all this. And also we use Java on the server side stack of software that enables processing of all data generated with these devices. So we are truly a Java end-to-end solution. And again, we agree that Java is the platform for IoT. We are heavily invested in Java, and IoT requires a very easy development, code reuse, and deployment because the projects are ever expanding. And Java is the language that enables us to be very agile on developing new products. V2Com is a spec leader together with Werner of the GSR 363 units of measurement to make the language even more suited to IoT because you deal with measurements all the time. We are on the EC for 2 years now, and as a Java consumer, we believe that standards are very important to keep a Java strong language and ecosystem, and the JCP is the body that keeps that happening, and we want to see that continue. All right, that's it. I don't want to take too long because it's 11 p.m. Yeah.
Thank you, Leonardo. We are at the top of the hour, but before we close, I want to ask Heather Vancouver to say a few words about the role of the PMO in the JCP. So over to you, Heather.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick. I'm Heather Vancouver, and as Patrick said, I manage the JCP program office. So we report to Patrick, who's the chair of the JCP. And in our role, responsible for the day-to-day support and leadership and nurturing of community participation in the JSR process, we work with the executive committee organizing agenda, as well as leading the JCP.next effort. Patrick acts as a spec lead of those JSRs. I'm acting as a spec lead for the most recent one, broadening the JCP membership. So we, our day-to-day role is overseeing the JCP.org website and working with spec leads to help with JSR management and engagement and transparency to make sure that the efforts of the JSR expert groups are accessible to the community. And we also grow the JCP membership itself, so working with companies and individual developers and Java user groups and open source groups to join the JCP and maintain their membership. We also do some community building, outreach, marketing, and communications around industry events. So leading and organizing hacker gardens and community engagement events like the party at Java One that we throw every year in San Francisco, as well as engaging with the Java user groups on the Adopt the JSR program. So that's been a great way for us to bring in the developers around the world. So we're working with over 30 Java user groups now in the Adopt the JSR program to put more community input into the next versions of Java. So in the next year, we're going to be working on Java E8 JSRs as well as Java SE9 JSRs and some standalone JSRs as well. So we are passionate about keeping Java developers engaged and participating in the evolution of Java. I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Heather. And thank you to everyone who has spoken. I hope this has been interesting for our members, those who are on the phone call right now or who will download and listen to this later. So I think we're done. No time for questions, but hopefully you found that interesting. Thank you, everybody. Heather, would you please turn off the recording now?